web accessibility tips. Hello and welcome to WebAx episode 36, Complex Data Tables. This is your host Dennis, and thanks for joining me today. Before we get into the main subject, there's two or three news items just to announce. The first one is about Refresh 06. I guess the conference down in Orlando with some really big names went pretty well. There was apparently only like 70, 75 people, but I guess that's what they were expecting. So doesn't sound like a lot of people, but apparently that's what they were planning for. You can get some of the, two or three, I believe, of the presentations. You can get the slides. I don't believe there's any podcasts I know of. If you know of any podcasts of the presentation, please email me or put a post up on the WebAx blog. But one of them is Jared Smith's presentation slides from WebAIM. And you could get to that either by going to webaim.org or going to the webax.blogspot.com blog, and there's a link there. And the other one is by Nate Coachley, who presented twice, I guess, at the Refresh 06 conference. And his slides, for his presentations, are available on his website, nate.coachley.com, K-O-E-C-H-L-E-Y. And I've also put a link to that in the comments of the blog entry in WebAx, so you could get to it there also. The other little news announcement is guidelines updated for Swedish public websites. The Swedish Administrative Development Agency has, you know, and I'm not too sure on this. I believe it's law, but I'm not too positive. But they have guidelines for the websites, in public-facing websites in their country, and I guess they made some major revisions to that. And check out more information on the posting on WebAx. And I guess the guidelines are they're released in Swedish, but not in English yet. So that's still coming. But there is a nice summary given. That you could check out in a couple blogs that I've posted the links to. So, and there's some other lots of news actually coming out recently in accessibility, and I'll be posting more of that on the blog. Oh, one other thing, refresh-detroit.org. We met last week, and that went really well. We are skipping our meeting in December for the holidays, and the third week in January 24th, we're meeting in Ann Arbor, and we're planning on making this a pretty big event. It's going to be held, if you're anywhere in the area, you know, I recommend coming. I'm actually going to be giving a presentation on web accessibility, covering just kind of all the areas. Trying not to go into too much detail, but it should be fun and interesting, and it's going to be held in downtown Ann Arbor at the offices of 3.7 Designs, which is owned and operated by most of the time my co-host now, Ross Johnson. So thanks, Ross, for providing that space. So go to refresh-detroit.org for more information about that. Okay, so now for our main topic, complex data tables. Well, as you all hopefully should know by now, tables should only be used for data, as they were originally meant to be, and not for layout. So, I guess that's the first item to say. Now, data tables, when you have a proper data table, or, you know, a proper table, and a proper data table for standards and accessibility should have certain elements in it. So we're mostly going to talk about the headers and complex headers. But just for a quick overview, remember that a good complete data table for accessibility or not, should have a caption, and that is an actual caption tag that you insert just below the table tag, and that's kind of like the name of your table. And then it probably should have a summary, and that's a parameter that goes in the table tag, and that kind of describes what the content of the table is about and what you're trying to describe, the types of data and everything that's in that table. And the next important thing are table headings. So instead of TD tags, your header rows, and if you have a data table, then you should have header rows or header columns, and those should be marked with the TH tag and not the TD tag. So that specifies, you know, it tells you the user agent or the browser that these are headings. Now, in a simple data table, you would just put in a scope. And this is covered in WebAx Episode 3, Data Tables. And so a simple data table basically is if you've got, say, one header row, that's it. You'd simply put, you know, in your TH tags, you'd put scope, the parameter scope equals COL. So the scope of that header is that column. Now, if you've got a complex data table, and basically what that means is, say you've got more than one header row. So you got, say you have six headings, and then you have another table row above that, and it groups the first three headings like in one, and the next three headings like in another category. So you've got two headings or, you know, subjects in the first table row, and then the next one you've got your six. So the first three like kind of apply to the first one, and the next three apply to the second one and the row above. But I know it's hard to describe in words, and I got some sample code and links on the blog, so you can check that out. That's basically what it is. Now, what you need to do to link the header rows with the data is not to use scope, actually, but to use ID parameters and the headers parameter. Now, you've probably, most likely, you've never even used the headers parameter before. I never have until, you know, I did a complex table like this, and I've only done a few of them in my career, so it's not like, unless you're really, really into accessibility and, you know, you have a big need to do this and there is, you know, a budget to do this, then you're not going to see this method very often. But it is, you know, a recommended method of for accessible, complex data tables by the W3C and every other organization you're going to find. Okay, so you've got your table header row 1, table header row 2, and your data rows. Now, how are you going to do this, you say, if you don't use scope? So what you do is your table headers are marked as TH, your table rows are marked as TD. Now, what you do is in the first table header row, you're just going to put an ID attribute on each of the two cells, a unique ID. And then then do the same thing for the second table header row. Put a unique ID in there. Then, for each table data cell in the rest of your table, basically you just put in a headers attribute and you insert the ID for the header that relates to that cell. So if you have two, well, in our example that I'm trying to talk out and spell out to you, you're going to have two IDs that link to that data cell. You're going to have the ID of one of the two in the first row, and you're going to have an ID from one of the six in the second row. So what you're going to do is in that TD tag, the table cell tag, you're going to have TD space headers equals quote ID 1 space ID 2 end quote. It's kind of like how a class attribute, you could, you know, put more than one class and just divide it by a space. Well, this works the same way. So you put headers equals, and then in quotes, you know, put the IDs of the headers that relate to that cell with spaces. And again, I apologize, I'm not really doing video casting. I know it'd probably be good for this episode, but check out the code and the links in the webcast blog, and you'll get a much clearer idea of what I'm talking about. Okay, the example code in the WebAx blog is actually a little different than what I was conveying to you in this podcast. The example has only one table header row, but it has one table header column. So, you know, the idea is the same. You mark, instead of scope, you use the ID attributes for your table headers in the row, table header row and the table header column. And then in the TDs, you insert the headers attribute and you include the IDs of the headers that you are, you know, connecting to that table's cell. And there you have it. Complex data tables. So it's not really too complex. It's it can be a little tedious, but you know, if you gotta do it, you gotta do it. Now there may be some shareware or something out there that that makes this process a little easier, especially if you got really big complex data tables. This can become really tedious. And if anybody knows of any out there, then please you know, give me a shout, or you know, put a comment on the blog or something. Which reminds me, go to webax.blogspot.com for more information and to leave me a comment, or you could email webax@gmail.com, or you could still call and leave me a message. And the phone number is 206-203-0585. Thanks again for listening. See you next time. The WebAx blog and podcast is located at webaxe.blogspot.com. webaxe.blogspot.com. Email webaxe@gmail.com. webaxe@gmail.com. To leave a voice message, call 206-203-0585. WebAx is sponsored by Check Engine USA, website tune-ups and overhauls. www.checkengineusa.com.